Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is celebrating Trafalgar Day. So happy Trafalgar Day to everyone. In case you don't know, this day is celebrating the United Kingdom's most significant naval victory when the Royal Navy bested the combined Franco-Spanish fleet off Cabo de Trafalgar in Portugal. So that was, it's named after the nearest point of land to which the battle was fought. And that's usually how naval battles derive their name. And it was well known by the late 19th century, well into the 20th century, sort of petered out by the late 20th century. Remember 2005, the bicentenary of the battle was marked by some naval review back then. And it was the French and the Spanish came along because they had killed a British admiral, Lord Horatio Nelson. Methinks it was a French sniper who felled him. They regard this as a success, but apart from that, it really wasn't. I'm not sure, did any British ships get sent to Davy Jones's locker? Obviously, certainly, you know, a few hundred British sailors got killed. Some of them buried in Gibraltar, the nearest British base to where the battle was fought. So there was the Navy League, which was formed in 1894, and that encouraged people to commemorate Trafalgar. It was not just in the United Kingdom, it was in some of the colonies and the dominions as well. I remember that was the zenith of the Royal Navy when the Naval Defence Act was passed, demanding double power standard. The Royal Navy had to be bigger than the second biggest navy in the world, plus the third biggest navy combined. So in case they ever teamed up, the Royal Navy should still best them. Why not bigger than the second, plus the third, plus the fourth put together? Well, the cost would just be ruinous at that point. So the Battle of Trafalgar is part of these Napoleonic Wars. And remember, Bourbon, King of Spain, had been deposed by Napoleon. His elder brother, Joseph, put there in Spain. He's deeply unpopular. He wouldn't leave Madrid because his forces didn't fully control the countryside. The French army had to come in and help them. There were not that many Spaniards that took his side. Eventually, that King Joseph wouldn't even leave his palace. The risk of assassination was so high. And eventually, he hightailed it back to France with his wife and daughters. He had no sons. But anyway, the Spanish fleet was briefly under French command, and Admiral Villeneuve, he was the French commander there, and he was captured by the Royal Navy. And there was the Spanish admiral, his partner Neapolitan. Remember, the Spaniards used to rule some of southern Italy, which why there's Il Quartiere Spagnolo in Napoli. And how on the west coast of Sardinia, they speak Catalan to this day, like Castel Sardo. I've been there. Anyhow, he was thought to be a more capable seaman. And had that Spaniard been in command, perhaps they would have won. Nelson's touch of no longer just lining up the two lines of ships and bombarding each other, broadsiding each other to break through. But it was dependent on the winds and the tides and so on. So that was his daring plan, and it succeeded resoundingly. The Royal Navy, they just had a much better standard of discipline. Like Napoleon later said, when he was in a French warship, he couldn't hear himself think. There was so much chatter. He was captured by the British on HMS Bellerophon on his way to St. Helena. He couldn't believe how quiet it was, how orderly it was. And the French had lost so many naval battles. He'd pressed some landlubbers into naval service to no good. Later, he took some experienced sailors for the army because he's so short of men and blah, blah, blah. Artillerymen from the army, they couldn't fire cannon at sea. It's quite a different skill and so forth. They hadn't found their sea legs. So that was it. So even though the French ruled the roost on land, ruled everything from Spain to Moscow briefly, Britannia ruled the waves. And that's why after that, the risk of them invading Ireland again and Great Britain had very much diminished. That's why Lord St. Vincent, was he first Lord of the Admiralty, said in the House of Lords, "I do not say the enemy cannot come. I only say he cannot come by sea." Well, how else could he come back then? Napoleon briefly considered what seemed to be Looney Tunes' idea back then, building a channel tunnel. And obviously the technology then would have meant it would take decades, if be possible at all. It was briefly started about 1880, and the British Army objected to it, saying we could never be absolutely secure. There's always a slight risk the enemy would invade through it. So it stopped very quickly. Begun again in the early 70s, but due to financial constraints, the plan was shelved. Begun again in 1987. The astonishing thing, it was completed in only 7 years. You think just how long these engineering projects take in the United Kingdom today. HS2, massively behind schedule, massively over budget. But France, the United Kingdom, used to be able to do these things. So that is Trafalgar Day. Okay, so they often toast the immortal memory of Lord Nelson, those who fell with him, on his ship, HMS Victory, as in His Majesty's ship, Victory. So in the wardroom, that's at the officers' room of Royal Naval Bases and Royal Naval Warships all over the country, they'll be celebrating it. The Sea Cadet Corps, that's for teenagers who are a bit too young to be in the Royal Navy doing it. That's where there's Lord Nelson monuments all over. We had one in Ireland, in Dublin, unfortunately blown up by terrorists in 1966. And obviously our heritage, something they found unacceptable. And it was the people of Ireland who paid for this by public subscription and so forth, who saved our country from invasion. Indeed, there was even a Trafalgar Square in Barbados, I think it's now called Freedom Square. So jubilating this victory without being moralistic about it or thinking that there was a great moral difference between the two sides. All right, there was some sort of parliamentary government in the United Kingdom, but, you know, the slave trade went on. It was only just finished in 1807. Nelson, he believed that slavery should continue. In those days, not many people in British politics proposed the abolishment of servitude, only the transatlantic traffic, kidnapping people in Africa. That murdered a lot of people. Many of them died on the voyage. That's also murder, even if not deliberate, direct. You know, you're creating conditions whereby they die and you don't see that something to try and avoid and so forth, and the terrible cruelty that involves. And obviously, France and all the Western European Atlantic countries did the same. So none of them particularly morally upstanding. And so the United Kingdom maybe had, embryonic democracy, certainly not full democracy. And France was a totalitarian state under Napoleon, with total sham elections and no freedom of expression and so forth. The United Kingdom clamped down a lot because of fear of revolution. So civil liberties were seriously abridged. And you might say that was just because of wartime exigency. There's some truth in that. But the UK took the side of absolute monarchies, you know, in various German states or Russia, whatever. So there's not some clear moral difference between the two. A better thing to do would have been to negotiate peace, like the Whigs suggested, save a lot of lives and a lot of money. And so it went on. But after Trafalgar, there was really no serious chance that France be able to successfully invade the United Kingdom. And that was it, though. That's why Napoleon changed to his continental system, as in sanctions, really, not trading the United Kingdom to starve the British out, a nation of shopkeepers. But Russia particularly started breaking this and trading anyway. And Napoleon said, well, I can't let them get away with that, because if they're going to be trading illegally with the United Kingdom through that northern route, I say illegally, they signed a treaty swearing not to do it, then other countries are going to start trading with the British and the whole sanction system will break down, which is why he made his fateful decision to cross the river into Russian territory and march on Moscow. Although, oddly, why was he choosing that? St. Petersburg was the capital. Then he could at least maybe supply himself by coast a bit, evacuated by coast. Right. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then in PayPal, to account at 90mil.com. So Lord Nelson, he had so many Irishmen aboard his ship, HMS Nelson. He had an interpreter because some of them could not speak the English tongue. We know he was married to a young widow met in the Caribbean when he was posted there at English Harbour in Antigua. She was the widow of a slaveholder. But the love of his life was obviously Lady Emma Hamilton, that chambermaid from Cheshire, who'd slept away to the top in London, marrying a much older man, Sir William Hamilton. And then he was a willing cuckold, Sir William Hamilton, the British ambassador to the Kingdom of the Two Sicilies, as in Naples and the island of Sicily. And so she invited him to stay. So Sir William behaved more like an indulgent father rather than the husband. So you want to invite your paramour to stay? That's absolutely fine, so long as you're happy. And Emma Hamilton gave birth to a daughter, and she was brazen enough to name this daughter Horatia to make it absolutely obvious that the father was not her husband, but her lover. And then Lord Nelson, when he was killed, his widow, she was given pride of place. Lady Emma Hamilton wasn't recognized at all, even though it's widely known that she was his lover and so forth. And because he had no legitimate son, or I think no sons at all, even with Emma Hamilton, therefore, his titles were given to his next youngest brother, born the son of a relatively poor Anglican vicar in Norfolk. Went to the same school as Stephen Fry. So she died in poverty, Emma Hamilton, in France, perhaps ironically. But I found they found a skeleton to be able to reconstruct her face. It's got a rather long, though attractive face. All right, toodaloo, everybody.